Hi, Carrie.
Hi. Hi
Sorry,
there.
we had a little problem starting because somehow my Skype is not working the way it normally works. Because usually the engineer calls me, I answer the phone, and he kept chatting me. But we have a chat box and everything. You're on Skype, right?
I'm on Skype, yeah. Do
Yes,
we sound all right?
they have a chat thing and everything, and but for some
Right.
reason, nobody's able to call me. So I had to call the engineer. I'm still expecting Deborah to come on. She's not on either. So we're having an engineering day because
I'm sorry.
Deborah's my co-host.
Right.
I'm sure she's having a problem figuring out with Deborah there. I heard a
Oh,
little twinkle thing, but
me too. Is that her?
no, I don't know what it is. I have the chat thing open just in case she was in a chat. She's supposed to be on too. So anyway, see, and the thing is too is I keep trying to tell my engineers and my variety of different people that are doing the show with here that the guests should call like around 1:10. Oh, Deborah's with us. Yeah, should call like around 10, 1:15. Because if you call at 1 o'clock, at one, right at the dot when I do the show, you have to sit there, right, and listen. So we're doing a whole bunch of stuff here. It's
Hi,
okay.
Andy. I'm on the line now.
Hi, Deborah.
Hello.
So, like I was telling Carrie, is that we're going through all kinds of stuff because I really. And I have to try to figure out how to do it again because I like to have the guests call me at 1:15, say, right?
Call
And if
you?
they call at 1, it's okay, but they're going to have to be like, here, like Carrie's right there. Hi, Carrie. And it's like if she wants to be part of this thing, it's right because we have, I was going to say, you have to. By the way, Deborah, you did a wonderful job on information on the guests. I mean, I love this write-up on Carrie that you did
Oh,
here. I don't know if she sent it to you.
let's hear
But
it.
I'm going to skip the whole thing and go right down to the bottom. It says, I've always known I wanted to be a journalist to build a career on the simple pursuit of truth. My work is based on the belief that by sharing information, ideas, airing debates, and unveiling actions and events critical to public policy, we help advance and strengthen our community and our humanity. And to me, I would say, and the earth,
Right.
You know,
Yeah.
but it's Deborah.
Yes.
You want to say it? You wrote it. You sent it to me. What you sent it? Can you do that? I want to hear your voice. See if you're any good at it. Deborah tried out. This is like your second month as my co-host. So
Well,
I'm.
yeah, I'll just go into it. Carrie, thank you so much. We're so honored to have you on the show. We really am. And Carrie Gillum is the author and our guest today of Whitewash, the book, The Story of a Weed Killer, Cancer, and the Corruption of Science. Carrie is a veteran journalist, an investigative journalist, I should reiterate, researcher and writer with more than 25 years of experience covering corporate America. You're also, I think, a former senior correspondent for Reuters and
Reuters.
Reuters International News Service, and you are currently doing research director for the nonprofit U.S. Right to Know. Is that correct?
Yes, you've got
Yes.
it.
And we are so excited to have you. And I, at the end of the show, I'll give everybody your website so that they can go there and look you up. There's a lot of information about your book, about you, about your articles and your appearances. And we're really honored to have you today.
So
That's great.
you know about that 289 million that they have to pay, and also there's a whole bunch of people in line. You know about that, right? Of course, right?
Me, Carrie?
Yeah,
He
yeah.
does know about
Oh,
it.
no, I hadn't heard about it.
No, you
Tell him
haven't heard
about
about
it.
it, have you? So before we go into what because I have some questions to ask you, but there was a reason why I wanted you back on again because I used to write opinions on for Huffington Post and a variety of other places, but I find that every time I even stick my head up there, I get attacked by 20 people. And these people, I believe, are paid for to do this, right? These people jump on you. So the latest, you know, so this thing here, so I was following a couple of things, and I'm looking at, and they're, what they're saying is that coffee is 10 times more toxic than Roundup is. And this whole thing is, and so, you know, what I decided to do was to tell people, you just got to read the book and use the book, because you have, see, these people, I believe that they, and this is interesting that this whole subject of ghostwriting came up, because that's what I've been saying for about 100,000 years. I said, you know, but this whole thing is, it's really a sham on a lot of different levels in terms of perpetuating the fake news, right? What is not real, perpetuating that at the expense of making sure that the real stuff is never gets out there. And just, you know, just today, a couple of days ago, I think it was just, first of all, they have, I'm adding a couple of new sections to the show, Deborah.
Okay, that's fine.
it says U.S. defends banned nerve agent pesticide. You know about that, Carrie, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right, and they're saying that it's just, you know, it's totally safe. It's being used around. It's for the particular chemical. It's a strange name,
chlorpyrifos. Chlorpyrifos. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't say that only once. You say it 10 times. Chlorpyrifos. Right, and so they're saying it's, you know, the studies and all this, but the truth is, right, is that the studies, and you look at the studies and you go, well, these are obviously not real studies. I mean, if you know how to read studies and look at things and you go, well, I follow the money. And it's the very same thing with ghostwriting. Happens in every industry, not just this particular one, but you look at the sugar industry, you look at the tobacco industry. They have a massive army of people that write this stuff.
And Carrie, if I can interject a question, I've often wondered, science is a rigorous academic field, and I'm just wondering, how is it so corrupt? How did it get so corrupt?
Money. Sorry, I didn't say it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's a good question.
I mean, there's a lot of scientists, don't other scientists read these, you know, reports and whatnot, and disagree with them, or
I
mean, what happens to their opinions?
Right. I mean, there certainly is a lot of money involved, and I'm hearing an echo. Are you guys hearing that echo?
I'm not, but Dawn, could you help her?
Yeah, I hear a little bit of an echo too.
Quite a bit of an echo, yeah.
Dawn?
Yes, I'm here. We're
Thank
not
you.
Hearing this echo. Who's hearing this echo?
I'm not.
Carrie.
We're
going to
hang up with
I'm
you, Carrie, and we're going to call you back.
I was hearing an echo, but it seems to be fine now.
Okay.
Right, Carrie?
Yeah, I don't hear it now. Don't hear it now at all.
The echo
Whoever
was
has open
my brain,
speakers should be wearing earbuds or earphones.
And
so again, whoever has open speakers should be wearing earbuds or earphones.
That's right. That's,
I'm on a landline,
right,
everybody. So.
That always happens to me on in the brick and mortar world when I'm doing a show and they're calling me. I get this echo. I said, you know, you can't listen to me and listen to yourself on the radio. You can't do that. Okay?
Right.
You know, it's
anyway,
like infinity
Carrie,
over again. So go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I think we're good. What? And remind me, are we, so when are we starting this and is it taped?
We're taping it now and it's
we're recording.
Live. And
oh, gotcha.
I'm not going to go back and cut out all the good parts. I mean, you know, it's okay. We're
it's
a bunch of
radio.
Nice, friendly people here. It goes out on podcasts and it goes out to millions and millions of people around the world. But we are live right now, maybe even live streaming. I don't know. It depends on what Mr. Engineer is doing. Because sometimes we're on sometimes we're on Facebook. There's so many different connections. These people have done such a wonderful job in getting us out there. That I have, you know, I have a list of stations that they live stream to. So it's like live streaming. I can't go there when I'm not on because I'm live streaming, right? See what I'm saying? Okay. So what was the question? I forgot.
What
Carrie,
was the
can
question?
Can you address
oh, yeah,
the question
science.
About science being a rigorous field and why such bad science is allowed to come out? Or what is the background of that?
Well, certainly, there's a lot of money, as somebody, maybe Andy said, there's a lot of money in this. Mm-hmm. You know, Monsanto alone with glyphosate, or Dow with its insecticide chlorpyrifos. I mean, these are billions of dollars in revenues that we're talking about. And if you have scientific studies coming out that are showing, you know, real harm associated with these chemicals and these products, of course, that's going to impact sales. That's going to impact regulation. And so, you know, there's a very strong motivation for these companies to manipulate the scientific record. And, you know, we saw just this past week, I don't know if you guys are paying attention, but this particular series of papers that I've been talking about for a while, and others have too, are a perfect example of the corruption of science.
Exactly.
These papers were published in Critical Reviews in Toxicology, and they were dubbed to be an independent review of glyphosate,
which is not
by independent, you know, scientists who were not being paid by Monsanto, and Monsanto had no review, no hand in these articles. And of course, we found out the opposite. You know, we found out Monsanto was paying two of these authors directly, secretly, and that Monsanto's own chief scientist, Bill Haydens, was drafting and editing and rewriting and basically telling the authors what they needed to say. You know, the journal editors finally came out and issued an expression of concern, and they're trying to correct the record now. But a lot of people feel these papers should be withdrawn. You know, they're still out there, and they're still called an independent review, when, of course,
they've been doing this for quite a long time now, and there's quite a lot of information out there circulating as if it was really official, really sanctioned stuff. And you read and you go, wait a minute, this is not even a real, this is done by these people who circulate, you know, the false information. Like I said, it's done in every industry. You name climate change. Okay, so guess what our favorite oil companies did? They paid scientists, or people who are willing to call themselves scientists, to promote there's no climate change. While on the other hand, they know exactly what was going on, because the internal memo says, yeah, we know what's going on. We have to figure out how to keep it going for as long as we can. And you name the field, whether it be in food, the same thing with organic, because I've been involved with organic gardening, right, for a long time. And this constant amount of studies, constant amount of stuff, but they're not real studies. They're paid for by the same people who are saying it's fine.
Exactly. And that, I mean, and that's where the real problem is, you know, when these companies are allowed to meddle in science, and when journals like Critical Reviews and Toxicology don't, you know, act immediately to correct the record and either pull back or retract.
Isn't it illegal to produce false information? It should be illegal, right? You should be able to say, no, the earth is not flat, and you can't prove it.
Isn't there a stringent kind of like oversight for all of this material that goes out that's false?
I don't think so.
Well, they're peer reviewed. They're supposed to be peer reviewed by other scientists to make sure that they're, you know, using good methodology and sound scientific practices. But, you know, as we've also come to learn, a lot of times the companies themselves are getting to peer review, you know, some of these papers. And we've seen where Monsanto has been involved in paying the editor of one of the journals, you know, again, kind of a secret under the table, $400 an hour arrangement. You know, these kinds of things are going on and people don't know about it. And the science is being presented to regulators and lawmakers and others as proof that these things are safe.
Guess what's going on right now in Congress, right?
Can I read something that somebody wrote about Carrie? And her.
Oh, I bet it has to be good.
It is good.
I only take the good stuff.
So it's, quote, give Carrie Gillum credit. She comes at one of the world's most powerful corporations hard and doesn't hold back, something legions of other journalists have been reluctant to do. Her book, Whitewash, is a gutsy, compelling read from beginning to end, especially for readers who enjoy the kind of hard-nosed, shoe-leather reporting that used to be the hallmark of great journalism, end of quote. Carrie, that's kind of sums it up. I did not have the opportunity to read your book. Andy did. But I have a question. What does the title mean, whitewash?
Well, you know, it, pretty much what the definition of it, to make something look better than it is, to cover up.
I thought it might have been more in jail. Okay.
Yeah.
But you know, the interesting whitewash fits everything. You look at the food, you look at medicine, you look at even what we calling science, farming, all of that is being whitewashed.
The agribusiness.
I think by the same people. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, I mean, what this is something that, you know, is dirty or unclean, and trying to make it, you know, look clean, make it look new and fresh and real, and hide, you know, what you don't want people to know about. And, you know, that when I started writing the book, that was the title that I had in my head from before I wrote Ward One, because that the evidence is so clear that that's what's been going on.
You know, Carrie, there's an article, recent article in the well, it's actually in the opinion page of the Los Angeles Times. The title of it, Carbon Free Requires Nuclear Power. So we talk about whitewash, because they're saying, you know, it's carbon is it has a no footprint, you know, carbon footprint. So it's exactly what we need. I could talk a whole show about this, because this is what's being whitewashed. Nuclear power is clean. Whitewash. No?
I suppose so. I've done no research on nuclear power. But yeah, I mean, one of the big selling factors for glyphosate and these herbicides like Roundup, the glyphosate-based herbicides like Roundup and others, is that they are so environmentally friendly, that farmers don't have to till their fields to kill weeds, and that it doesn't accumulate in the soil, and it's not going to be dangerous to wildlife or to people.
All of which is false.
All of which has really been shown to be false to a certain extent. Now, farmers really were able to reduce their tillage because of glyphosate, but I was just out visiting a farmer, you know, what, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago now, in his cornfield, and he said...
I saw that picture on Facebook, on your Facebook page. Yeah,
they have to till again, because... even though they still are planting Roundup Ready and they're still using Roundup, it doesn't kill weeds like it used to. Weeds have become resistant. They've used it. They've overused it. And so they're still using it, but they're also tilling their fields. You know, it's not been as beneficial as we've been told.
One of the things, I talk a lot of, I can have a whole show on weeds, natural weeds control. As a matter of fact, I have a book on it. But in a short little phrase, I tell people weeds only grow in mineral deficient soil. And that's it in a nutshell. So once you understand that, you understand why weeds grow and why they keep coming back. It's also indicative of soil is not alive. But talking about soil, one of the things that I was talking about since I was maybe a baby, like when I was a little boy, a little baby walking around, mommy, mommy, I would say, soil, soil. I remember eating and my mother saying, my mother would say, don't do that because, you know, it wasn't really soil, it was bad. But when we were on the farm, she would say, eat all the soil you want. and it was good for me. And turns out, so I always believed in living soil. And one of the things I would tell people right off the bat, you know, chemical fertilizers, pesticides, things like Roundup, which they use also with the weed and feed, the fertilizers you can buy out there, weed and feed that have Roundup in it or whatever other type of things. I think they use Roundup on people's lawns, you know, to control weeds and Roundup in the garden and stuff like that. But it kills the soil. I tell people, just it kills the soil, because I'm kind of dramatic. But basically, and what I found in the book, which was really, really good, is about this, I think it's a scientist or a doctor, you know who I'm talking about, that basically lived right next door to where one of the Monsanto places was, one of their buildings, and he talks about how it damages the soil. I think Robert Kramer.
Bob Kramer, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right, and to me that was like, because I'm very good at, I'm like a plant whisperer. I'm going, oh, what's the matter? And they're going, my feet hurt. I go, really? And that's what the trees do, because the trees grow in this soil. And if it destroys the soil, it will cause problems. And it's interesting in that, you know, the trees, if you look at trees and you understand how they work, they basically need to get their food from the soil, to a good degree. And if the soul is not working, they're going to be deficient in what they need. They're going to get sick. And it's the same thing with the human body, because we're now getting ground up into our body in lots of different ways. Did you read that article where they're finding like 90% of everything has got ground up in it now, all the food you eat?
Well, Carrie, you published something on our Facebook page about Cheerios, didn't you? With a little girl sitting at the kitchen table eating Cheerios.
Well, yes, and that was just one in, you know, many, many, many reports that, you know, and I write about in the book, and I've been writing for years about the fact that, you know, our U.S. government fails to do testing for glyphosate residues in food products, even though that is part of their job, and even though they test for other herbicides and pesticides and insecticides in our foods, they've always skipped glyphosate until just very recently. And the FDA has been finding glyphosate in almost everything they look at, as I reported in The Guardian. I have some internal FDA documents that show that. And they're not planning to report that information to the public.
Why not?
We can tell from their official documents that they're planning... What they plan to report to the public will be a very, very narrow scope of information that will basically be very reassuring.
I have a question.
Reassuring?
Yeah.
Okay. I have a question. Okay, so what does that do to, so say you have organic produce, certified organic produce, and you have other produce that's contaminated with, and they're both being shipped together in the same vehicle. Doesn't the organic produce could therefore get contaminated also?
I suppose so. I mean, there are obviously, if you look at the different research out there, you do see organic foods that have shown to have glyphosate residues in them.
Right.
You know, who knows how that can happen? You know, there are glyphosate residues in the manure and the output from livestock, chicken, cattle, others that are.
On top of that, it could be within
could
a few
be in
miles
the water,
of each other.
Could
right.
Be,
a few
miles
grown. Grown within a few miles of each other. Wind can carry this stuff if they spray on the right day. That's one of the reasons why.
Do bees carry it too?
Oh, yeah, it's definitely. I mean, we found it in honey. The FDA has found it in honey at very high levels. One FDA chemist, as I write about in my book, you know, brought this to his supervisors. He was very alarmed, and the supervisors basically, you know, told him to be quiet and go away, and they reassigned him so that he wouldn't be doing any more glyphosate residue testing. It's been a whitewash. It's been a they're hiding information from the public, not only the corporations but our regulatory agencies as well.
So around 1990, I started talking to people about the bee colony collapse, and I would tell them, look, just to say you're a bee and you see 10,000 acres of Roundup Ready corn, and you have to pollinate. That's your job to go there. And then you have this, the queen is supposed to have the purest stuff for her. And so, gee, I wonder why if you're eating this stuff and you're giving it to, making food out of it, you're having problems. You don't have to be a scientist, I'm sorry, you know, to figure that one out, right?
Well, you know, this pesticide is being found in human urine. It's found
in
our air, our water, but
in
it's found
ocean.
In rain. Our government has found it in rainfall.
You
know, it is pervasive. It's the world's most widely used, you know, agrochemical.
Right.
It's skyrocketed in use since the introduction of genetically engineered crops in the mid-1990s. And, you know, it's not working near as well as it used to. We talked about that earlier. But they're still using it, and now they're using it in combination with other older herbicides. So it's a treadmill that we're on, and these pesticide companies just keep telling us we need to use more and more.
It's the same thing in the agricultural realm. It's the same thing in the agricultural world, you know, in terms of the threadmill that they put you on in terms of using more and more chemicals to get less and less out of it, and they at the same time telling you, well, there's no difference between conventionally grown food and organically grown food. Just ignore all the other stuff. Just like with this nuclear power is supposed to be clean. Just ignore the fact that we have no idea what to do with the nuclear waste. Right?
Carrie, what do you see for the future then for agribusiness?
Well, you know, what we're seeing What we're seeing right now is a number of farmers and food companies and grain handlers who are really becoming aware that this is a problem. Consumers are worried about it. They know, they see the handwriting on the wall, and they know that they need to change practices and stop using some of these pesticides that are being so harmful to the environment and are leaving all these residues in our foods. So, you know, you're seeing a change. There's one large grain handling company that has informed farmers that they need to stop spraying these things on their grain right before they harvest it, because they know consumers don't want it. A lot of food companies are saying, you know, we're only going to source, you know, ingredients for our products that are glyphosate-free or pesticide-free. So, you know, I think we're starting to get there, but it's taking a lot of education and information.
I recently received an email from a company that has the very first Roundup of the name of a glyphosate. I'm having a dental operation, so some things are very tricky. Right, things are very tricky if you don't have all your teeth together. You have to go.
Yes.
But they're the first company to be certified free of this product, and there's more and more companies that are going to be sort of, you know, going through this certification process to prove that they don't have it in the product. But my concern also too is, okay, how do we get rid of this stuff since it's everywhere? You know, it's not like you can give it time, right?
It's in the water source, as you mentioned, Andy, right?
Yeah, water, it's in the air, it's in the ocean, they can find it. Do you have any idea of the lifespan of this stuff?
Oh, my.
Of glyphosate?
Yeah.
The lifespan, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure that we do. I mean, we know that, you know, because it's not like it's applied once and then we just get to sit there and watch how long, you know, I mean, it's over and over and over again that we're being exposed to this on a daily basis. Basically, as you sit down and eat your breakfast, you're probably getting a little bit of weed killer in your morning meal.
Are you aware of what happens when you soak a plastic in any chemical, but Roundup, for example?
I've never soaked plastic in Roundup.
So think of this scenario. You know, there's so much plastic everywhere, including in the ocean, specifically in the ocean, and more Roundup ending up in the ocean chemicals. And the plastics absorb this stuff. This plastic gets literally intertwined with the plastic itself. It picks up all kinds of chemicals and just sucks it all up, and everything grows there. The algae is that's leading in the wrong. And we're not helping with this climate change problem because we're making all this normal system that will normally clean up the earth function less and less and less.
Yes, sure. Yes. I mean, I think there are so many problems that we're facing right now with our environment and sustainability, and, you know, with climate change and nitrogen runoff and the dead zones and, you know, just, and of course, the pesticide use and large animal, you know, operations that are further adding contamination to our water and our soil. I mean, deforestation, there are so many different things that we can be concerned about. And they all seem to be leading us to a place that is not going to be a very healthy place for our children future generations.
What do you think about the person, you know, who won that? There's a whole bunch of more people behind her. I read there are like 9,000 court filings against the company. And what do you think is going on there? I mean, what's going to happen? Is the company going to go? Because that other company, Bayer, just bought it out.
So now they bought it, right? Yeah.
Right?
Right. So there are approximately 8,700 plaintiffs that uh-huh. they've all counted up now. There are 7 trials that are set now for 2019 to take place, both in federal and state courts. There's a married couple, who are asking the judge to set their trial in December. So there might actually be one as early as December. They're 74 and 76 years old, married, and they both have non-Hodgkin lymphoma. She has brain cancer.
How did they prove this to the court? That their cancer is caused by Roundup?
Well, each plaintiff, and this is right, they all are alleging that it was exposure to Monsanto's herbicides, Roundup or other glyphosate herbicides that cause their non-Hodgkin lymphoma. You know, each exposure is different. Each usage is different, obviously. So there will be different evidences that, as, you know, for each individual case. But the scientific evidence that ties glyphosate to cancer and glyphosate-based formulations like Roundup to cancer and other diseases is certainly out there. And all of that is presented to the juries. And then the other thing that also really resonated with the Lee Johnson jury, was all of the evidence of internal Monsanto documents that showed that they were aware of these studies that showed harm with their product, but they did not take any action to warn consumers about it or to, you know, in any way inform regulators or lawmakers or others. Didn't want to put a warning on the package, you know, that kind of thing. Continued to sell this product, you know, as so very, very safe. And a lot of people, you know, were led to believe they didn't have to wear protective gear. They could just spray it all the time and wherever and they wanted.
Still do, they still do. I see them out there spraying stuff. I don't want to come anywhere near it, but you can see their bottle. Can read it with my microscope, my binoculars. Oh, he's spraying Roundup again. You know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and so this is the issue that in the trial, they're not saying you should ban these chemicals. That was certainly not an argument that plaintiff's attorneys made. What they said was, you know, you know about the science, you know what's out there, and you've worked hard not to warn people, but to hide the science and manipulate the scientific record.
Listen, is there any way, because I've tried to stay abreast of all this stuff and try to be as knowledgeable as possible, but lately, I haven't been getting the emails that I used to get. I used to get stuff from the Union of Concerned Scientists. I haven't gotten anything from them in a little while. But where do you get your stuff from? Information from? Is there some place I can go to be more on top of it? Because I like to be able to access this information myself. And then somebody asks me about it, I can say, "Well, here, read this. Do you want more? I'll give you more." That, you know, that's what I need. I want more.
Well, certainly you can go on a webpage that I spend a lot of time updating, U.S. Right to Know. We have a Monsanto Papers website.
Oh, is that what your website is? U.S. Right to Know? What's the name?
Excuse me. USRTK.org.
Wait, I was trying to see because I don't see it on here in terms of her intro. Because she did mention it, but it's not written on here of Deborah about you. So let me write it down because I didn't know of anything about it.
She is the research director for the nonprofit U.S. Right to Know.
U.S. Right, R-I-G-H-T,
yes,
to,
you know, T-O-N-O-W.
.com or .org.
Yeah, the website is actually the abbreviation, so it's usrtk.org.
Okay, usrtk.org.
.org.
Right, usrtk.org. Oh, right. Cool. Got it. I'll go there and do a follow and subscribe because, you know, knowledge is very powerful, and especially if you can trust the information you're getting, right? Because then you're going to get a ton. For every good stuff you get, you're going to get 100 stuff that says, no, that's not right.
Right, but the thing that we have on our page that I spend, as I said, a lot of time on, the Monsanto Papers page, and that's just one element of U.S. Right to Know. But you can go to that, and that is nobody's opinion. That is there are court documents. Those are internal Monsanto records that have been obtained. It's all documents that people can read. And it's, you know, Monsanto's side of the story is in there and plaintiffs and scientific studies and different scientists' interpretation of the studies. You know, it's thousands and thousands of documents.
Do you do other things as well or other areas, for example, the mosquito problem we're having now and what they're doing?
Genetically engineered mosquitoes.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of that and what chemicals they're spraying. And because I love to get on top of what they're actually trying to do because, you know, there's so many different things going on here. And all of them have to do, bottom line, is what chemicals would they like to use to solve that problem with?
Exactly.
Right? As opposed to what their real problem is, including humans humans, what chemical here? Eat this, and you can continue doing whatever you want to do. Listen, you did. There was a study about the glycophosphate in bees. I like to know, is that you have that on your site too?
You know what? I think we probably do. We don't have the study actually.
Yeah, I don't think because I saw it on your website. Yeah.
It hasn't been introduced, and it just came out recently. But we have information about it.
Can you tell
like
us
the
about
news,
that?
The news stories.
Do you post it on your Twitter thing?
Oh yeah. People can follow me on Twitter.
Am I following you? I don't know.
I don't know either.
I'll
put it all.
How would we find out? Deborah, your job is to find out if I'm being followed or if I'm following her on Twitter.
We will follow her.
I do, and I post all of these documents on Twitter. I post stories. I post studies come up.
Is it your name?
She's
with
prolific
a dot at Twitter? Carrie?
Yeah, yes. Carrie Gillum is my Twitter handle.
Is your name, no dots in between, just the what?
Right.
And at Twitter, right?
Yeah, that's it. It's pretty easy.
Yeah. Mine's andylopez@twitter.com.
Oh, well, I'll have to follow you right now.
Cool. I wish I could follow you now, but I can't multitask.
Yeah, that's
dangerous. I'll do it after the show, Andy.
Yeah, cool, because, the thing comes down to find somebody that you know is really knows that field, and I've learned that really the hard way
in terms of
doing business. I mean, people call me, Andy, I want you to do do you do electrical work? I go, oh, I could, but I probably will kill myself, so I don't know. No. So I like you. I like your expertise and your knowledge. And if you say danger, Will Robinson, I'm going to look at it because I already probably know that's there's something going on there. And like the bee stuff, I'm telling people, listen, you got to pay attention. You got to pay hello. And it's not just the bees. You name it. This is just one thing. But this is a question. So Monsanto sold the technology to the people that do 2,4-D, am I right or wrong?
Sold which technology?
The putting the Roundup in the gene.
Yeah. So what Monsanto's done over the years is they license their technology. And so they, these are things that they license. So there is now a genetically engineered crop that it has a tolerance both to 2,4-D and a tolerance to glyphosate. I think that's what you're talking about. And then there are also new crops that are out there that have a tolerance for dicamba herbicide and glyphosate.
Wonderful.
What does that exactly mean, Carrie, a tolerance?
That's what a Roundup Ready crop is it's a glyphosate tolerant crop, meaning you can spray Roundup all over a soybean field and the soybeans will tolerate it. They will not die. They will be fine. But the weeds will not tolerate it and they will all die, hopefully. That's the intent. So if it's herbicide tolerant, it means you can spray it with herbicides and it won't die. And that's what they've been doing with dicamba now in 2,4-D.
So the way they get away with it is they say, look, it's inside the gene. It's not going to hurt you.
And so that's a separate thing, whether or not the GMOs are dangerous to human health or the GMO crops that are sprayed with the glyphosate. Is it the glyphosate and the herbicide that's in the crop, that's in the food, that gets in the water, that gets in the soil?
That's another show,
book focuses on. That's what Whitewash focuses on, really, is that aspect of it. But
right. I tend to go over the aspect of it. Yeah, it's in the gene, and because I've been telling forever, I believe this technology is the answer to part of our global climate change problem, in the sense that we can get scientists to produce food without these chemicals in it, but make them change the gene to produce better during hot climates or cold climates, or be more nutritional, not need to food. So I've always been talking about that, but I've always believed that there's something wrong with eating that chemical in the gene and saying that no, it's not going to affect humans. And I've been reading lots of different things, and I'm trying to get different authors on also to defend their statement that these do cause health problems. My opinion, they haven't been fully studied. I think they should be studied for a couple of decades to see what happens down the road.
Well, the interesting thing with GMO crops, and I wrote about this when I worked at Reuters, is that there really is no mandatory review process within the FDA. There's a voluntary process in which, you know, these companies can submit studies and things like that. But the FDA is very careful in saying, this is on you. They issue a letter to these companies that says, it's your responsibility, you know, Monsanto or DuPont, to make sure these things are safe. And, you know, that's not totally reassuring.
So what they do, they hire people to produce the study.
Well, of course, yeah.
And the study, I tell people, look, follow the money. So Monsanto, if you see, because that's why when you have the studies, you really have to look and find out where the money's coming, because it's not going to be on that printed report. You have to go to the website. You have to see who did the authors are. You have to follow it until you say, well, look, Monsanto paid these people to do the study. And pretty much, I can't prove it, but I'm sure you've had I bet you will say the same thing, that they actually wrote the report, say, here, put your name on it, and it's you're good to go.
The ghostwriting, right?
There's
certainly been a lot of ghostwriting that we've seen. And the lawyers tell us that we're going to see a lot more in these trials that will be upcoming.
Oh, yeah. In the next few months, next few years, it's going to quadruple.
Doesn't Bayer own the company now, Carrie?
Bayer owns Monsanto now, and the investors have been very worried and upset. You know, Bayer shares dropped pretty precipitously after the $289 million verdict. And I've actually been contacted by some investor groups who are concerned they're not getting the straight story from Bayer executives. And, you know, shares, I haven't checked them. I didn't check them Friday, but they were down about 20% at least earlier last week. So
their timing was real bad.
And you know, it really, I think, caught them off guard.
Because they were ready to make another trillion or $2 off of this technology, you know, leasing it out to all the companies. Because my spies have been telling me that you're going to find it everywhere, not just here, but around the world. They're pushing it in other places. And, you know, that was another question is, are they still, other countries are available, or are they still, like, are we the only ones that are doing it?
Are they using it in Europe?
What, glyphosate?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely.
No, I was talking about
Europe is much more organic than we are.
They don't use GMO crops, but they certainly do use pesticides. And glyphosate and Roundup has been very popular.
That's what I was talking about, genetic modified organisms. I think we're the only country in the world using it, right?
GMOs, no. GMOs are planted around the world.
They're planted, right, for us. But the countries themselves are not using it, like in China, for example.
China has been very interested in GMO technology. And actually, if you remember a few years ago, some Chinese were caught over here stealing seeds from fields in Iowa to take them back to try to steal our GMO technology. It was fascinating. Yeah.
Carrie, so, do you still live in Kansas, or do you live somewhere else?
No, I live in Kansas. I've lived here.
Beautiful. I love it.
Since long time.
Are you anywhere near where that tornado and the wizard and all that stuff happened?
Oh, my gosh. You know, there is a town, and I can't think of the name of it now, but it's out in western Kansas.
Yeah.
And they believe, you know, they have Dorothy's house, and you can go visit Dorothy's house.
That's what I was talking about, right?
Yeah. And you can see where the, you know, little people, what do we call those people?
The Munchkins.
Yeah. The Munchkins lived, and oh my goodness, yeah.
Well, you know, interesting too, that came up is because when I look at it, I always wonder, gee, I wonder if those fields are organic. What's going on, know, whether they're organic or not, the little men. But listen, you know, I like to have you on as often as possible, because this is an ongoing thing. Like you said, it's only going to get worse. They're going to start saying the world is flat in terms of this stuff here. And they tie it in, because, you know, it's overall, we're all being, the science and truth and what's real is being attacked on all level, whether it be educational, you know, whether it be art.
Right.
You know, so we have to constantly, and the trick is, you know, if you're silent, you don't say nothing, then they win. So you have to know what to say back, you know, what to say back. So just tell me what I should say if somebody says this stuff is totally harmless, It's being used by millions of people around the world. No, not one person has ever died from it. Everything you read is totally useless. Coffee is more toxic than Roundup. What would I say back?
Yeah, well, what I would say is you clearly haven't read the scientific record. You clearly have not looked through the epidemiology and the toxicology and the mechanistic action data.
Right, Clay, I haven't done your research because I tell you, do your research. I said, well, you do your research. And they said, well, I do the research. And then they come up with a 20 different things showing their research, but you read their research, it's not their research at all. I mean, it's just BS. But how do you, are we supposed to so we can go to your site and do the research, right? If I have a question, would you guys, would you look it up or something? Because I have lots of questions, man.
Well, I mean, there definitely her website, right? It's carreygillam.com. That's spelled CareyGillam.com.
Wait, so that's different than the USRTK.org.
Yes,
right. You can go to your
website and you have stuff that's going on. You'll tell people about it because I think I have you on my website list. Yeah.
Yeah, I certainly do.
Can I mention your name? When somebody said something, I said, oh, yeah? Well, Carrie says this. Can I do that?
You can have them go to my website or you can have them read the book. I mean,
Think they're going to get your book and read it because that would be cool if you get the other side to start reading your book. Do you think that seriously is going to happen, right?
We want to encourage people to read her book.
The other side has read my book. And they were working really hard to try to discourage anybody else from reading it. Monsanto has been bending over backwards to try to get its little secret army energized. And they actually filed a motion in court in this Johnson trial specifically saying they wanted my book excluded from evidence, which I thought was really interesting.
I wondered if you had backlash from your book.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my. Yeah. Every single week there is something. There's a group called the American Council on Science and Health is one of the biggest attack dogs. We know from Monsanto's internal documents that they...
Don't you love those guys?
That they get money from Monsanto specifically to, champion Monsanto's interests. We have emails between them and Monsanto about how to do this. And they, they write something negative about me about every week that they put out.
Every week is a daily thing.
Well, maybe it's a daily thing. I don't know. And there are a few other. There's a group called BioFortified that Monsanto lists as a partner in its internal documents.
Do you follow them so you know when they're saying something about you?
No, I don't.
It's probably helpful.
I would think so. Know your enemy, right? So when they start saying something, you will know what's going on. But there's nothing you can do about it.
It's so much negative energy, and there's really no point in it. They never. The thing that I'm concerned about is that I'm providing factual information, truthful information, and the thing that these groups have never been able to do is point to anything in my writing that is not true. So all they ever do is just say what a horrible person Carrie Gillam is,
Or like to say, coffee is 10 times worse. let's just point at something. Let's say, I have a friend who believes the world is flat, but he says, the world, you can't go up in space and see it. they attack with something else because they have no real proof. And they don't go with the science or what's real. I've learned that from experience in doing my own business in terms of what I do. So what I like is my thing to try to get across to people is that, knowledge is important. So you have here a great book because this subject is not going to go away. It's only going to get worse because, they want people to use it all the time and to think if everything's safe. And we're at that point now where we really have to hopefully we can change our Congress and therefore change our EPA and change our look at chemicals and stuff like that and how we farm. Because this whole thing, it's not really their fault they came up with these chemicals because we want it. We want chemicals. We want chemicals. We want fertilizers, pesticides. We want this stuff immediate. We want it. And organic gardening and natural farming, it's a very slow process. So this book is very important in the sense that you can actually quote from the book and you would sound a little bit smarter and they would have to figure it out, right?
Well, it's all about information and education. And right. I certainly don't tell people what to eat or what to buy or what to support or not support. I just believe that we all have a right to truthful information about, especially about the food that we eat and the food that we feed our kids. And so that's all I'm trying to do. And then people can, you know, weigh that and make the best choices for themselves.
And Carrie, can you also have an audio book, right? This is a
Oh, you have an audio book?
Right? Yes, it's also an audio for people who don't want to read, who want to just listen.
I love that. So
how do you get that?
Amazon. I mean, I think if you Google audiobook, and I know Amazon offers it, or I don't know.
It's $25.95 on Amazon.
How much is it?
$25.95, and her hardback book is like $20. So,
Carrie,
go to Amazon.
Carrie, did you read into the book, or is it somebody else reading?
I did not read it. No, apparently it was read by a professional reader.
Oh, is that what you did? Because people, they contacted me and they said, we would like to do some of your books, like the new one I have, Don't Panic, Kiss or Gag, which I sent to you, didn't I?
Yes.
And you got it, right?
Thank you. Yes.
And yeah, you said you was going to do a review. I have it on tape.
I don't remember that.
Okay, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
I don't remember your book being on tape.
I'm kidding. If you like it enough, you might say that. Do a review. I would love it. But maybe even I get you to do a poor, you know, poor word. I'm sorry. But what I was going to say was.
We got 5 minutes, Andy.
Yeah, I've been asked to do the book, and I thought I don't have time to talk it to do it. So you just hire somebody to do it. That's cool. I didn't.
I didn't hire anybody. I didn't have anything to do with it. Audiobooks people bought the rights to the book, and then I think they I don't know what they do. I guess they hire someone, but
cool.
Yeah,
that's wonderful. It's
not my deal.
I love the audiobook
idea, because you can listen to it at work, driving to work and stuff. You can go to sleep, listen to it, and you absorb the information even more. You wake up in the morning just spitting the information out. So thank you very much for being on, and if you feel, please, Deborah will invite you on again, because, you know, anytime you have something important that you want to say, I'm going to do is I'm going to take 5 minutes of the show and replay it, okay, on a regular basis. You can have access to it. But if you want to, you know, if there's something ongoing that you want to say, just let me know and we'll get it, make sure we get it across to people, okay?
Absolutely.
USRTK.org, right?
That's it. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
And go to carriegillam.com. For her website.
Carrie Gillam, that
GILLAM.com. And Carrie is with one R. C-A-R-E-Y. C-A-R-E-Y. Yeah.
All right. You guys
got it.
So we have another few minutes, I think. And so I'm just going to do this because I have to. No, I don't know. I have to do any of this stuff. But this is what I was going to play for you all. No, you can't hear it. Oh, never mind. Okay, well, anyway, I have a whole new
equipment. Did you write a song for Carrie tonight? Today?
What?
Andy, did you write a song for Carrie?
I did, but I can't, I guess I could play it, you know,
I don't know. You could play it. Carrie would enjoy it, I think.
How about this one? Rosie's question, bones are sparkling view. This is an early song. They were back to every one. I do write music, but I'm really
sure. That's not it, though.
This is not mine. This is like in the early 30s. People send me music that gardening music. So this is a gardening song. It was done in the early 30s as one of those cha-cha things, you know, the but I do write my own music. And you go on my website, you can hear it. And also I'm on SoundCloud. I do inner gardening music, which I play for the garden.
That's wonderful.
And sign up to our newsletter. It's at invisiblegardener.com. We send a very short, concise newsletter out to everyone once a week. It won't cloud your email box too much.
And we have a a nice podcast. So this show will go back out again through our podcast system. BBSRadio.com did a wonderful job in getting us out into the internet world. So
Thank you, BBS.
My iTunes podcast alone just recently got 27,000 downloads. So that's pretty good. That doesn't count any of the other stations that they get sent out. So hopefully the information is going to go out to more and more people. That's the whole process of the show. And I myself, I'm going to go over there to usrtk.org and sign
you,
up.
Gary.
That's important. And then I'm going to get your audiobook because I like to listen to it. It's hard to drive and read, you know.
I'm probably not very safe either.
I don't know how people do it. I think we should be, it's like, oh no, we got another minute to go. So are you doing a video? You're doing a movie on this? Because it looks like it's perfect for a movie. You can have Robert Redford as you could be Jane Fonda could play your role.
Wow.
Right?
I actually do think this has got movie potential. And, so I'm talking to some folks about trying to make that happen.
I saw that in the background there, you know, because it's perfect for that. Ideally, it would be, and it would be, they would definitely not want to, you have to decide whether it'd be like a fantasy thing or a real documentary, right? Because if you do it as a documentary, they will do everything not to have it published, you know.
Carrie is so beautiful. She's got that farm girl look, but she's hard hitting as a journalist.
From Kansas.
So you got those two sides, which is very admirable.
Look, if you want to do a show, you girls can do a show by yourself sometime and I'll just get up and you get girls just
it sounds like it's time for me to go.
Yeah.
Time for me to go too.
I guess we're going to our engineer has not said anything, but it looks like it's 2:00, so we're all gonna go. Thank you very much for listening to Don't Panic, It's Organic. My host, Deborah Emerson, and today
thank
Carrie
you,
Gilman.
Carrie Gilman for being
thank
on
you.
With
us. I know.
For coming back.
Thank you. Bye bye.
Okay, Mr. Engineer, you can turn us off now.